This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, let's just be honest with ourselves. We have to do more wrestling shows in France. Bonjour. Also, bonjour to you all, spectacle. Welcome to Ups and Downs with me, Simon Mellor, in my hotel room in the United States. Listen, I have just watched SmackDown, and I was just like, this is an absolute joy, because essentially from second one to second, 2 hours, it was just a hoot to see the French people so damn happy to have sports entertainment in their country. It's a couple of thumbs up for me. Let's go. Seriously though, even when we saw AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes arriving at the arena early in the day, these people were just like, yes, yes. And when Bayley's music hit, well, you would have thought the Queen of England was coming to the ring. Although now it would be the King. I've made a terrible faux pas, off with my head. She was also teaming with Naomi, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair to take on Damage Control and Tiffany Stratton. And we can condense this into a very nice sentence. People tagged, crowd cheered. People tagged, crowd cheered. And I was like, who even cares about moves? This is the wrestling I need. Naomi and Kairi Sane started as well, and everybody was so behind Naomi. When Bianca Belair tagged in, she did a suplex. And once again, it was just like, oh my gosh, she did a suplex. Hook it to my veins. Tran and Bayley also got in there as well. And I think that could be a good feud if we did elongate it. When I'm not kidding you, Kairi grabbed Bayles and she threw her into Oscar's bottom. I mean, don't get mad at me. That's what happens, and I have to report on it. Tiffany then hit that awesome Alabama slam she does when she went to the corner and she smacked Jade one, but she probably shouldn't have done that because she forgot she was in a wrestling match. She turned around and she got Bayley to belly. Once more, I'm still doing the dance of joy because this was getting my adrenaline going. And the interesting part here is throughout this match, because of tags, Bianca Belair and Bayley kind of fell out with each other. So much so, I stood off into the distance and I thought, I think this could be Bayley's first proper feud. And I tell you, that would be absolutely amazing, especially because one of them would have to play heel. And who would it be? Answers on a postcard. Cargill eventually got the hot slap because of course she did. She just wrecked everyone, including grabbing Bianca Belair and hurling her into Dakota Kai. And they probably did that because of the bum stuff earlier. Once again, don't get mad at me. Kai was able to break that up with the 1-2, but this is when chaos ensued, because everybody went after everybody else. When Bianca grabbed a cut with Kai, she hit the KOD, and she got the 1-2-3, and as always, that does rhyme, so WWE must have got it right. So this really was just awesome because of the crowd, and I'm going to say that a lot through this episode, but they got so loud, people on their phones got warnings saying, oh, your ears are probably going to explode. I've exaggerated, but that is true. Give it up. The stuff then continued as well. So we went backstage. We were with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Now, they were being their usual stupid selves. So they were like, we can smell something. And after running through a bunch of nonsense, they were like, we can smell the smoke because we bring the smoke. Because, of course, they're facing the Street Profits later. So they were insulting them with their own catchphrase. And as always, they do make me laugh because they're absolute goobers. We also then cut to Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. And Bianca is super mad at Damage Control because she just has to keep fighting them and fighting them and fighting them. When she basically looked at Bayley and was like, you know what? You're responsible for this because you made this group, which is when Bayley left the room. So again, I am intrigued. I think we're going to do it. Carmelo Hayes and Nick Aldis were then here too. And do you know what Carmelo Hayes said? He was like, listen, bro, I think I should be in the King of the Ring tournament. And I was like, well, they can't do that because Gunther is going to win the King of the Ring tournament. But if Carmelo Hayes enters the King of the Ring tournament, Well, Carmelo Hayes should probably ring the King of the Ring tournament. Hashtag King of the Ring tournament. Bobby Lashley then walked in too, and he was like, well, Carmelo, you did a great job and good work against Cody last week. And I laughed. I was like, he didn't even win. But that was kind of the point, because Lashley then said to Carmelo, I can help you out if you need it. And Hayes said, nah, man, I don't need that. When Bob was like, well, you didn't even win last week. And Carmelo was like, well, at least I shot my shot. You never do that anymore. Lashley then totally flipped his lid. It was like, don't you disrespect me. This is another one. I think we're going to do Carmelo Hayes versus Bobby Lashley. I didn't have that on my bingo card either, but I should have done. I think it could be a winner. When the AOP defeated the New Catch Republic, I mean, as you're seeing this, it is May the 4th, Star Wars. I'm a bit worried about Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate because I think WWE management has gone, oh my gosh, they're so good. We can put them in any kind of environment and they are going to be totally okay. That doesn't mean that they just lose. Although in this instance, the AOP did need a win. We need to watch this space. I mean, Akam just caught Pete at one point when Tyler Bate came in there and they were unleashing these punches when Akam just went nope and he took Tyler Bate's head off with a clothesline. And if he had pinned him for the 1-2-3, I would have understood. Razor then wanted some of this too, but Tyler's plan was to suplex him. But of course it didn't work. Although fair play to Bate, he thought on his feet, he's like, fine, I'm going to give you the sleeper instead. Dunn was then stomping on Razor's arm because these two are like little animals. And when Tyler realized that both of them were on the outside, what did he do? A big old dive. So for at least 2 minutes, they were rocking and a rolling. The problem, of course, though, is eventually the authors did start writing down prose about pain. They were going to get back into this, including putting Tyler Bate in a bear hug. I was like, what are you doing, you absolute idiots? He's not even a bear. Tyler knew how to get out of this, though, because he did the whole wiggle jiggle when he got the hot tag to Pete Dunne, who actually hit a sliced bread on Razor. And I was like, all right, I get it, WWE management. You are correct. They can do it all. Somehow, almost instantly, Tyler was good to go again, so he must have taken a med pack. But he actually grabbed one of these fools, and he did the aeroplane spin. Have you seen the authors of pain? They're absolutely huge. That was impressive. Pete was then, haha, I can get this done because I'm going to break some joints. But because the rest of the final testament were at ringside, Scarlett cast distraction and Karrion Kross basically beat a load of people up, which he shouldn't have been doing, but the ref didn't see it. It meant the AOP were able to hit their finish for the 1-2-3. And again, the final testament needed something. And given that both these teams have been drafted for Raw, I suppose we shall carry on the program. But you know what I'm going to say, it's Groundhog Day once again. Because the fans just cheered me through this, I am giving it up. Also, when it does come to Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, they're very good wrestlers. When it was bloodline time. Because Paul Heyman found Nick Aldis in his office and was like, please, please take Kevin Owens and Randy Orton out of the mats at Backlash. Because if they get in there with Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, they're probably going to die. Nick obviously said no when Paul was like, fine, then whatever does happen at the pay-per-view premium live event will be on your shoulders. Aldis wants to know, all right, who is deciding all of this? Is it you or is it the tribal chief? When Paul Heyman accidentally let slip, no, it's not Roman Reigns. I haven't chatted to him since WrestleMania. Whoops. Because, of course, Nick jumped right on this and was like, but you told me Roman Reigns didn't want to be involved in the draft. When Paul was like, no, I took him out of the draft because I thought it was the best thing for the head of the table. Because, of course, he's so worried about Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. But now he just put his foot in it. Nick then did have some final advice for him because he was like, listen, the RKO show is about to begin. So if you don't want these two to be in the match, why don't you go and tell them yourself? And he was right. We literally went right into that segment. And this was wonderful too, because Kevin Owens got such a big reaction, especially when he started talking in French. And when Randy Orton came to the ring, everybody was singing his song lyrics. I don't know why that's entertaining. It just is. I mean, they were so damn over, they could have played chess and everybody would be into this. When Kevin was like, listen, I just thought we were going to come out here for a good time. But Paul Heyman kept ringing me. And he has worn me down. So you know what? We do have a guest. And here came Paul Heyman. I mean, who were you expecting? I think he dropped in the line that he is now WWE's undisputed wise man, so he's definitely been promoted. And Kevin Owens was like, listen, Randy, don't RKO him just yet. And Orton was like, I cannot promise anything. I kind of like doing it out of nowhere. Now, instantly, the crowd started to go, we want Roman, and Paul agreed with them. So when Roman does come back, he's going to be a mega babyface. And he did say to KO Randy, look, I just told Nick Aldis this. I'll tell you too. You don't want to take on Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga because they're murderers. He even went as far to say they should think about their families if they're not going to do it for themselves. When KO was like, why would I listen to you? You're basically a weasel. And Randy was concerned because he too doesn't know who the tribal chief is right now. And this did leave Paul a little bit flummoxed. He didn't know what to say when he did burst out, you know who I think the tribal chief is, and why we would assume Roman Reigns, we couldn't go any further because, of course, here was Solo, here was Tama, and they attacked Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Of course they did. They're obsessed. Now they got into a big old brawl until WWE officials broke them up. And then Randy and Kevin were celebrating. I was like, I don't know why you do this. You didn't win. He said, I do love this story, though. And the brand new bloodline do come across like absolute crazy people. And of course, when Roman Reigns does come back, he's going to have some questions to answer, too. And I do think at the pay-per-view premium live event, Solo and Tama are going to have to win. Otherwise, what was the point of doing all this to begin with? That means we could even get a Kevin Owens Randy Orton feud, depending on what we do.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stresses. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Not sure what I'm doing here, but I'm giving it up. It just works. This is when we got the Street Profits responding to Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and they essentially did this in French because they are good guys. Where we got another massive pop. It actually made me laugh. Here was LA Knight. I'm sure we have to do something with him because everybody keeps going crazy for the man. I think WWE must know that too because he was taking on Angel here from Legado del Fantasma. I don't know why their paths were crossing, but surprise, surprise, Lar kicked his ass. Then at one point, he grabbed his head and he just smashed it to the ring apron over and over again. And even when we cut to the commercial, which is usually when the heel gets back into it, we got back from the advert, LA Knight just booted him right in the face and hit the BFT 1-2-3. And one, that rhymed again. And two, I wouldn't say this was a squash, but my word, he gave it to him. They got super duper confused, though, because LA got a microphone and said, "Hi, I'm entering the King of the Ring." And I was like, well, how is this going to work? Because you need to win the King of the Ring. Carmelo Hayes needs to win the Ring of the Ring. The Ring of the Ring. The King of the Ring. And also Gunther needs to win the King of the Ring. Can't even talk. This is making my brain go so crazy. Basically, I don't think that's how the thing works. Given the Legado del Fantasma out there too, eventually Santos Escobar interrupted him, said, she's like, I don't like you, LA Knight. And LA Knight was like, well, I think you're a massive nerd. And given that they did fall out here, I guess that could be our next program. Not sure how I feel about that. The vacancy. But mostly for the pop that LA Knight did, we do give it an up. But yeah, we have to come up with a big plan for him soon. That man is crazy, crazy popular. Carlito was being interviewed by Byron Saxton after this, which was a big deal, because we all wanted to know why did you attack Dragon Lee? Now, as predicted, it was because Rey Mysterio picked him for the WrestleMania match. And as Carlito told us, I have been away from the WWE for a long time. I wanted my WrestleMania moment. And I feel like Dragon Lee screwed me over, especially because he's a mythical creature. This is when Lee flew in and he attacked Carlito, although we didn't really see what was going to happen here. And I'd actually do this match at Backlash, but at the moment, this is not happening at Backlash. Before we do find out that, though, we did have to sort out the tag team titles. As it turns out, France loves a good tag team title match. I'm just going to say it again. The noise during this. There's also Grayson Waller and Austin Theory taking on the Street Profits, and even though A-Town Down Under jumped these guys to begin with, Everyone was just like, yes, yes, do crazy moves. So they did. But Montez Ford was so offended by that, he hit a rock bottom when Angelo Dawkins joined in and he smacked them all with a swanton bomb. Montez then carried this on because he basically murked both of them on the outside. And even when they tried to get back into this, Angelo Dawkins was like, no, I don't think so. And he took them out first. So for a good while, the Street Profits, they too, were a rocking and a rolling. Even carried this on with a double team blockbuster when they were about to get the win. When Austin figured it out, he was like, I can just hit Montez right in the penis, which he did do, and he used the top rope, and he went right into his groin. All this did mean that nobody saw that Dawkins had hit the most devastating move in all the sports and attempt the surprise roll-up, which is when Austin snuck in. He slammed him with a flatliner, and surprise, surprise, when the referee did turn around, Grayson was able to get the pin, and these two schmucks did win. But I have to tell you this, I love the fact that they do keep stealing victories. They really do make me chuckle. I hope they do get into a long-term program with somebody, and actually I would choose the Street Profits, so maybe we can do this, because again, they did win via shenanigans. But otherwise, this was just a very good match, which once again was just escalated by everything going on around it. You should just watch this whole SmackDown. If you are any kind of wrestling fan, you will definitely enjoy it. And I'm just going to repeat that again too, because this main event segment, even though AJ Styles was out first, when Cody Rhodes entered, these people lost their damn minds. And when he went, what do you want to talk about? He may as well have said, I'm going to give you all $1 million. Styles knew what he was doing, dude, because he took the mic. He was like, nobody cares about that. And then any time he tried to say anything, he became Dominic Mysterio, because everyone was just going, boo, boo, and they weren't saying boo words. Now, the big point Styles wanted to get across was that I may be older than you, Cody Rhodes, but I'm still in my prime. But also, let's not forget, when you were in the WWE first time, you couldn't handle it when he did the Stardust pose with his hands. And even when you came back to the damn thing, everybody welcomed you with open arms. I saw what happened at WrestleMania. What about me? I had to fight my way to get here, and I had to climb to the top by myself. I suppose this audience agreed, it all started to clap. AJ also mentioned that people Cody hangs around with are legends, but he's beaten all of them. When Rhodes is like, listen, my friend, you are phenomenal, but tomorrow you will be first, or be the first on his list of people that do get defeated, as he is a champion. This is just Cody Rhodes, man. He's always so respectful. I like it. And then went a little bit inside of baseball because Cody Rhodes threw up the two sweet sign. And of course, that makes sense with AJ Styles because both of them were in the Bullet Club at one point in time. And even though they pretended they were going to do the kiss finger thing, that is what it is. Don't get mad at me. But of course, AJ hit him instead as he did walk off. He's the heel and Cody Rhodes is the bad guy. Not the bad guy, the good guy. I was thinking of the Billie Eilish song. But that isn't how SmackDown ended, because then we flew backstage again when the Bloodline and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton were still fighting. And I was like, what good is wrestling security? You can't do anything. What it did do, though, was a nice 1-2 punch, because it told you, look, these are two of our biggest matches at the pay-per-view premium live event, and it left you wanting more. Although you've only got to wait a few hours, we're going to get that show. And given how loud people were here, my gosh, they could actually ruin the world. Let's get it up. So I would admit this was a very simple show, because I think WWE knew what they were going to get, and there wasn't actually that many people on it, because I'm not sure how many people have flown over, but you know the deal. I'm sure you've got it from everything I've said to you. It's getting it up. Any crowd like this is all right with Simon Miller. Now, of course, please do leave me a comment below and let me know what you thought about last night's episode of SmackDown, especially if you were there. I want to know how loud it was. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Click the video on the screen, which is Ups and Downs for Dynamite, which is also a good show. Otherwise, thank you, my friends. I will see you tomorrow, or later today, I should say, when I do up those downs for Backlash, because it's one of those crazy weekends, or just a normal weekend in wrestling world. I'll see you then.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.